This is Dungeon Not Included, the actual play podcast for the adventurous listener. You are listening to our game of Bulldogs, a sci-fi adventure RPG from Galileo Games. Brennan is your GM and host, Frank plays Sticky, Alex plays Graucom McGruff, and Red plays San Ming. Our theme music is by Seamus Ronan. All right, I am Brennan Taylor, and I'm going to be the game master for this game of Bulldogs. And we have three players that are ready to get going. We're going to start today by doing character generation, but everybody should introduce themselves as we go around. Let's start with you, Frank.
Hey, my name is Frank, a longtime podcaster, first time guest on this podcast, which is not surprising since this is the first episode. Hi, everyone. I'm going to be playing. Do we actually want to talk about our characters right away, or are we going to just talk about ourselves and our likes and our dislikes?
Oh, let's talk about ourselves to start, and then we'll hit the characters.
Okay. Well, I've been a podcaster for longer than it sounds like with this introduction. A gamer for a while. Brennan, I'm so glad you invited me to this game session. I can't wait to play Bulldogs on a regular.
Great. Let's move on to Alex.
Alex Tully, not a huge, a huge podcast fan only, and had two very bad failed podcasts.
I immediately want to hear more about this.
Oh no, you really don't. They're so bad.
I want to get a review.
All right, off mic maybe. I've been guest on a couple, including One Shot, which is actually where I met Brennan, because I played Bulldogs on One Shot with him 2 years ago at Metatopia. I'm an amateur game designer, and I came to present stuff, and they kind of dragged me in, and it was awesome.
Great. Red?
Hi, my name is Red. I've been playing tabletop role-playing games basically my whole life, including Bulldogs. And this is my first time on a podcast, but definitely not my first time playing.
Cool. So let's go around and start creating these characters. We are going to be playing Bulldogs, which is a sci-fi space adventure game set in a place called the Frontier Zone. Frontier Zone is a sort of lawless area of space where there are many independent planets. And the characters that we're going to be presenting here are all going to be part of a company called Transgalaxy, which has a section called Class D Shipping, which is hazardous delivery. They are all people who have signed on to this because of something in their past, and we'll all find that out as we go. So let's start by discussing what species we're going to play. There's a lot of different kinds of aliens in this game, and I think everybody picked a different one. You want to go first, Frank?
Sure. So you're going to have to help me with the preferred pronunciation of this, because there feels like there's a less savory one. Is it Ursa Semite?
It's Urseminite.
Urseminite. That should be cut out of the podcast. But I am mildly dyslexic. See? And I keep trying to read it straight. And like, this can't be right. This can't be right. Okay. So Urseminite. Yes. I'm going to be like I think one of the most iconic races in your game.
That's true. The Urseminites are well known as badass teddy bears that don't get along with anyone.
Yes. And I want to be ultra violent and aggressive. And I think my concept is he's basically he's one of this is a really bad way of phrasing it, but he's considered one of the good ones. Like, he is the iconic Urseminite that, like, he at one point or other, he saved like this small group of people. He was like this gruff hero that was heroic despite his grueling, like, kind of gruff nature. And as such, the company just wants to put him on the flagship of everything. He's the hero we want to present ourselves as, but he hates it. He definitely does not want to be a hero. He just happens to be cast as one all the time.
And is that your trouble, your Class D reason for being on the ship?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to find I want to get into trouble. Where lots of people in this, a lot of Bulldogs kind of find themselves forced into this position. I intentionally took it because this is the only way I'm going to get my paws dirty.
So basically, Transgalaxy hired you because you were a hero and you filled out the proper paperwork to put yourself in hazardous delivery, which is known as an unsavory profession.
Yes.
Sounds great. You want to go next, Alex?
Sure. I decided the species that jumped out at me immediately were the Lassians, who are large humanoid dog people. I kind of picture him as a, like, I don't know, how tall would you say Lassian is generally? Is there like a height restriction on this species or?
No, they're usually around human size.
Okay, so we'll say he's around a 6 foot tall border collie person who's got kind of black fur that goes across one eye, white fur, most of the face, which is basically the dog I had when I grew up, whose name was Pirate because of the black eye patch. So I'm turning him into a badass former soldier. Yeah, so Lassians, from what I've read here in the lore, is generally they are connected as soldiers for the Union of Saldar. So I'm going to get it wrong again. Saldrala, correct?
That's right. The Union of the Saldrala, which is one of the two empires that sit on either side of the frontier zone.
Yeah. So I'm picturing my character here as having left and is basically just looking for work outside of the military. I don't even decided what his exact problems with the military were that had him leave. But I'm sure they wouldn't, with this character, they're probably pretty gritty stuff.
And so why did he end up signing up for Class D?
I think it's what he can get. Whatever. I'm guessing that whatever he did, that either the reason he left, he wants to keep a low profile, or maybe he's forced into a low profile because of how he left.
Possibly some things that he doesn't want to talk about in his past.
Yeah, as of right now, absolutely.
Great. How about you, Red?
I am playing a Thald, which is a subset of Arsabarans, which are the human-like race of this universe. My high concept is a space therapist. My character, Sun Ming, is very concerned with interpersonal relationships and keeping everything friendly.
Okay. What brought this character into Class D then?
She has anger issues. Yeah. So her trouble is, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry, which obviously ties into part of the reason why she likes to keep interpersonal relationships on a positive note.
Makes sense. All right. Moving on. There's a couple of aspects that you get from your species, as well as the ones that you're going to generate about the other crewmates. So let's get through those. We'll start with Frank again. What did you end up taking?
A vicious little bastard. Which, I mean, how could I not? How could I refuse? And I think, you know, it goes with my character that I'm also going to be cute as a button.
Nice. Great combo there. All right. And your character's name?
I'm going with Sticky. I'm sure it's something longer in my native tongue, but everybody calls me Sticky or Stick for short. And yeah, I think that all appropriately brings out my personality.
Great.
I'm pretty sure that my character is going to be fetching the stick every once in a while when it comes to this. So for my character, since he is a dog person, I'm going with Grelcom McGruff as his name. And for my aspects, I have him as a dog of war, and also loyal to the last. I want him to really look out for the people who are with him.
Nice. And Red, what's your character's name and species aspects?
Her name is Sun Ming, and her species aspects are backwater homeworld and stay off the radar.
Okay, so definitely low key there.
Very low key.
But with some anger issues, as we said earlier. All right. the last set of aspects that you get are related to your crewmates. So Frank, did you have a couple of those for Sticky?
Yes, I do. So for Growlcum, which is an amazing name.
thank you.
My aspect is have some self-respect. I think he's a powerful warrior and what have you, but just the fact that he's so eager to please, it rubs me the wrong way.
Fair enough.
And Sangming, mine is, you've changed, man. Here to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
Sounds good. How about you, Alex?
For Stick, I have part of my pack. I think that I'm going to really take a liking to the other small furry creature that's running around the ship. And then for Reds, with the whole psychiatrist vibe you're going for, I went with, am I a good boy? I want my character to be, looking to you for acknowledgement that he isn't a bad boy. He is being the good boy that he wants to be.
Nice. Red?
I have one for everybody on the crew. And that one aspect is everybody on this crew needs to chill.
I like
it. Welcome is too eager to please, and Sticky is just a walking disaster. So,
don't see the problem with that.
Nice. All right. So the next thing that we do for characters in Bulldogs is create a skill pyramid, which is the list of skills that you have. They're ranged from +4 to +1, and you get a lot more +1s than you get +4s. So let's see what everybody has chosen for their character on those areas. Frank?
All right. So technically, I mean, Stick, everything is just great. He's just amazing. But I mean, more technically, he's great at command, which is ridiculous because he doesn't want to be in command, but he's great at it. He's good at larceny and resolve. So not only does he want to steal things and is good at it, but he's committed.
He's strong-willed. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair is contacts and provoke and stealth. I mean, he's got a decent amount of contacts in the field and he's this little guy, so it seems reasonable that he's pretty good at that. And average is his shoot, physique, haggle, and survival.
Cool. So those are your sort of backup skills there.
Right.
So you're much better at provoking a fight than you are at finishing one.
So basically I'm playing myself in this.
Nice. All right. How about you, Alex?
So my great, I put shoot for, as a soldier, it seemed to make sense to me. For good, I have fight and empathy. For fair, I put physique, engineer, and survival. Well, engineer, because, someone's got to take care of this thing. And then for average, I put pilot, just because I figured his backstory probably has some experience in it. Athletics, command, and contact. Contacts. I guess what I'm going for. Soldier boy, right?
Yeah, so you're pretty tough.
As a good soldier boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Red, what did you do for Sanming?
Sanming has great in rapport, so she's pretty good at talking to people. A good in fight and pilot. Somebody's got to drive this ship. Fair in physique, athletics, and resolve. And then an average in stealth, survival, systems, and empathy.
Cool. So you're definitely the one who should be talking to people, even though it's probably going to end up being Sticky most of the time, causing problems.
See, that's how you get conflict in story.
That's the problem with having the Urseminite as the face of the operation.
Right. Okay. So the next thing that we have, there are some stunts and species abilities that you get from your species, but also from you get to choose some stunts. So let's see what people have done for that, because this kind of helps define the characters a little bit as well. Frank?
All right. For stunts, I have Companion, which, to be honest, I'm blanking on. I wrote this down earlier in the week, and I can't remember what Companion meant.
Well, allow me to look it up.
On page 135, if you've purchased the book. And if you haven't, now's an excellent chance to purchase the book. Oh, once per session, I command a weak-willed, nameless NPC. Why wouldn't I pick this? I thought it would be any weak-willed, nameless NPC, not a specific one.
I think you can choose one from the scene. That seems legit.
Oh, all right, good. And that's exactly what I want. Yes, every once in a while, I just want to gleam my disgusting fangs and smile or whatever at somebody and just convince them to do what I want them to do. And that's me right there. That's my character. Perfect. Right there. I want to draw that distinction.
That's probably good to draw that distinction now.
I have cut the red tape, which is, again, going to be very useful for just eliminating some of the bureaucracy we're going to face. Because this character, while despite being like, you know, a command person who gets a lot of things done, he's doing so in a way that's opposite of what you would expect a charismatic leader to do. He just kind of gets right through it. And then planning, which is going to be a lot of fun. When we come up with a good concept for something, we're going to get some bonuses, and I can't wait to see that happen in actual play.
Cool, because that lets you basically implement a plan, and then everybody else gets a boost because of it.
I figure, you know, actually have something that will actually benefit people as a leader, instead of just constantly forcing other people to pick up my whatever I've destroyed.
All right. So Gralcom has Quick on the Draw. And let me just make sure I got the very page up here. Quick on the Draw. You get your gun up and into position in the exact right moment. Once per conflict, you can take your shoot action at any point in the exchange as long as you haven't taken an action yet in the exchange. Sounds good to me. Next, I have Two-Fisted Shooter. In combat, you fight with a gun in each hand. Normally, shooting with two guns just looks cool without providing a bonus. With this stunt, you fire two weapons. You have a decisive advantage once per conflict. When you use two guns and successfully hit a target, you make your target take a consequence instead of the stress that it would normally deal. So, yeah, very nice. And then...
Cool.
I think that this is a role-playing game that acknowledges that it usually looks just good. Cool to shoot
people. This time it actually does something. Yeah. All right, I'm just going to get to page 136 for my other one. What is it again? Jerry Rig. Okay, that makes sense for my character. Where is it? Ch-ch-ch.
Page 136 is also on page 142 of the PDF, if you've purchased that. Because, I mean, it's a wonderfully useful companion
What page is it on in the book? Because I have it as written 136, but I don't see it on 136.
It might be 142 in the PDF.
No, it's Jury Rigger, Jury Rig, which I'm under contacts now. Where's Engineer? I must have wrote the page number wrong down. That's why. Okay, 138, Jury Rigger. You can make the best of makeshift materials. When you lack proper tools for materials, you can still affect repairs or build temporary machinery or systems. You gain +2 to on engineering to either overcome obstacles or create an advantage to do so. Perfect.
Cool. All right. How about you, Red? What's Song Ming got?
Song Ming has two stunts. Smooth over. When attempting to calm someone down, add +2 to report.
Kind of like the idea of you being able to calm someone's dad down.
The cause.
Only for dads.
We get an errata.
Only for dads. You can't use it for anybody else. Sunming also has inner strength. When someone tries to unnerve you, intimidate you, or provoke a fearful response, you gain +2 to defend with resolve.
Nice. And San Ming also has a couple of other secret stunts that we're not going to talk about right now. They'll come out in play.
And do we have to become Patreon subscribers to get more of these videos?
Maybe we will reveal some of these secrets in advance to Patreon subscribers. Yeah. All right. So the last bit is everybody also has a little bit of gear. Anything that sticks out for you that you want to talk about? Let's go ahead and go over those.
I think my favorite thing that I have is ray-coated Imperial armor, and Imperial is in scare quotes. The way I see this is it's really pretty, looks cool, is good at stopping, I guess, assassins from killing their poster boy. But really, it's just impractical and bright and garish, and really just a moving target. I think it's going to be fun.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, well, since I took the two-fisted shooter, I have two medium guns, one each with their own little bit here. One is easy to conceal, and the other says standard issue. So I figure we could have fun with those. Standard issue, I was going for kind of like it's his military piece, so it's maybe recognizable to certain people, maybe get us in some doors that we might not have been able to get into. Or piss up, which is why it also has easy to conceal. speaking of that same idea too, in both the piss off get help, I have light armor, which has a scratched out insignia on it. So like, if you're looking for it, you might see it, but you know, trying to get away from that life. Scratched out the
so
stuff
you still
that would
have
make
your
obvious.
Military issued armor, yeah. But you've just scratched out all of the identifying marks. Yeah. Nice. All right. How about you, Red?
Sun Ming only has one weapon. Ooh. Well, one notable weapon. It's a katana with the aspect silent but deadly. It is a medium weapon, so that's pretty darn useful.
Yeah, so in Bulldogs, a medium weapon actually skips over some of your damage tracks so that you have fewer resources to absorb it, which is pretty useful for a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the last thing that we have to do is talk about the ship. So we were discussing this beforehand, and we were talking about how Sticky is the poster child for Transgalaxy. So they gave you a very high profile and flashy ship, right?
Yeah, they. One of the things I get for being so special to the company is their most state-of-the-art ship, despite the fact that it didn't quite go through all the appropriate phases of testing before being put into production.
It's basically in beta, at least, if not alpha.
Yeah, you know how when you were young and you were really excited for getting a beta product, you're like, oh, I'm getting
it. It's like getting half the video games out there now. You just get it, and it's like waiting for patches after patches for them to fix everything that's not quite done yet.
And I am sick of video games and why I rely on tabletop role-playing games like the ones from Galaxy.
Yeah.
We patch those ourselves. Okay. So it also has the aspect of being too new for its own good, as we were just discussing. But it is full of cutting-edge technology.
Yes.
So that's a big advantage for you guys. The name of the ship, do you want to go ahead and introduce that, Frank, since I think
yes.
Sticky decided what
this
it was
perfect.
Called?
The White Elephant. Yeah. It is both a boon and a curse.
Right.
Oh, absolutely it does.
And I think it matches your armor.
You absolutely match this. Yeah.
Definitely. paired to it. Yeah.
I bet they gave us all like matching outfits, but like nobody else will wear them.
Well, Sticky's happens to actually be useful. It's armor.
Plus, this
so,
is like the
yeah,
NASCAR of situations,
it.
Right? Exactly. Like where he's got to wear the jumpsuit that matches the car as well while he's in it.
Right.
Oh, yes.
It's got a whole bunch of product label stickers on it.
Nice. So that's our that's going to be our party and our ship, and then we are going to be going on some space adventures with these guys, all in hazardous delivery, doing things that are dangerous and are not necessarily fun.
Yes.
Or survivable. Well,
fun for the listeners, sure.
Absolutely. Well, not fun for the characters.
This podcast of realism and sadness.
That's right. Right. I want you all to feel the pain of these characters.
You know what's weird? I just got emailed by our network Patreon. That's
you
creepy.
Did. That
is creepy. Right.
They heard you talking about it. All right. Great. So that will be this is our introduction of the characters, and then we're going to dive into an adventure for our next episode. That's our adventure for this week. We hope you enjoyed listening to Dungeon Not Included. If you did, please tell a friend, leave us a 5-star review and encouraging comments on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps spread word for new shows like ours. You can follow the latest from the Dungeon Not Included crew on Twitter at DNI Crew, or over at Facebook at Dungeon Not Included, or at our home on the Non-Productive Network at non-productive.com/DNI Crew, where you can find articles, character sheets, and Patreon exclusives, as well as our latest episodes. All of us do this for the love of the game, but every little bit helps us keep making Dungeon Not Included. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.